Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Shay Holbrook from Larson Motorsports Jet Dragster Driver in the IHRA Nitro Jam Drag Racing Series, and you're listening to Thursday Night Thunder on Speedway Digest Radio Network.
Hello and welcome to the February 25th edition of Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder, episode 69 of the series. I'm your host, Adam Jason Sinclair, and on tonight's program we will be reviewing the Daytona 500, talking NHRA, and discussing whatever other motorsports news comes up in the conversation. As all of you are probably aware, last weekend was the Daytona 500-mile race held at the Daytona International Speedway in Daytona Beach, Florida. It wasn't really that exciting of a race for the general spectator perspective. It was pretty much a follow-the-leader type event for most of the race. The only really exciting part came in the last few laps, where the roughly 25 to 30 laps ago, when Dale Earnhardt Jr. had his little spin into the wall, took the front end of the car and mushed it up pretty good. Also earlier in the race, the pole sitter, Chase Elliott, had a similar issue, only his spin took him through the grass, which caused a great debate in the online circles about whether the grass should be removed at the Daytona International Speedway. And I know that there was, a huge debate about that. I was one of the most vocal people in the debate against removing the grass, because I don't think it's the grass that's the problem. I think it's in some ways it's the drivers, other ways it's the cars. As I stated in my argument about the keeping of the grass at the track, the Rolex 24 Daytona, they race sports cars, they go almost as fast as the NASCAR cars, they have a lot more turns, so their average speed is a little lower. But when they go around the corner at 200 miles an hour, and they do have some 200 mile an hour corners there, they or 200 mile an hour straights that lead into the slowing down of corners, you know how it goes. But they're able to go through the grass and have a minimal amount of damage where they can just clean out the car and make some repairs and come back in. But it seems like pretty much every time a car goes into the grass in NASCAR, it's the end of their day. Now, for Chase Elliott, he ended up being roughly, I believe it was 60 laps down by the end of the event. They did bring the car back out. They replaced the whole front end, which is actually pretty amazing they're able to do that now. But he was definitely taken out of contention, and I know that as I stated, there was a huge debate about the grass. It isn't the grass's fault. But the race was won by Denny Hamlin in one of the closest finishes in NASCAR history. One 1/1000th of a second over Martin Truex Jr. It was a great finish to an otherwise uneventful race. This week, NASCAR goes to Atlanta, so they're all standing by for that, and that'll be a pretty interesting thing. They also have some pretty awesome news going on from Supercross, where some of the NASCAR stars will be involved in the race there, in the Supercross race in Atlanta, and I'm going to post an article about that sometime in the next few hours, probably, unless it gets posted up tomorrow, but you can look that up. I know Clint Boyer is going to be involved, Danica Patrick is supposed to be involved, Jimmy Johnson is supposed to be involved in the event, as is Ty Dillon. So it should be a pretty good thing to watch for Supercross fans. It'll be an interesting event, to say the least. And we're looking forward to providing coverage of it after it's over. In four-wheel news, today was the first of a two-day test by the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship at Sebring International Raceway. And Felipe Albuquerque and Dane Cameron drove the Corvette DPs from Action Express Racing to the top two positions on the speed charts today. The test allows teams to prepare for the 64th annual Mobile One 12 Hours of Sebring, fueled by Fresh from Florida, round two of the WeatherTech Championship, Antiquila Patron North American Endurance Cup, which is set for Saturday, March 19th. Coincidentally, that is also the day that the NHRA will be heading to Gainesville. One of the days the NHRA will be in Gainesville for the Gator Nationals, which I'll be attending this year for the first time in several years. Our guest will also be on at the Gator Nationals there, and we'll be asking him briefly about that in the next 20 minutes or so. He's scheduled to be on roughly at 8:15 this evening. Felipe Albuquerque set the fastest lap of the day in the afternoon session in the number 5 Mustang Sampling Corvette DP at 1 minute 51 seconds, 0.965, while Dane Cameron led the morning action, running 1 minute 52.306 seconds at 119.887 miles per hour in the number 31 Whelen Engineering Team Fox Corvette DP. BMW and Audi were the quickest in respective GT Le Mans and GT Daytona classes. BMW team Rahal Lanigan-Letterman paced both sessions in GTLM, with Bill Oberlin, Dirk Warner, John Edwards, Lucas Lohr, and Kuno Wittmer sharing the number 25 IHG Rewards Club BMW M6 GTLM. The car's best lap was 1 minute 58.780 seconds, at a speed of 113.352 miles per hour. Second with a lap of 1 minute 59.073 seconds at 113.073 miles per hour was the number 62 Risi Competizione Fiare 488 GTE of Tony Wielander and David Rizon. Porsche North America brought one of its two cars to the test with the number 911 Porsche 911 RSR of Patrick Pilet and Frederick Makowicki with a lap of 1 minute 59.170 at 112.981 miles per hour. Ford Performance brought both of its Ford GTs to the test, which was split into a pair of four-hour sessions on Thursday. GTD unofficially saw 11 of the 17 unofficially eclipsed Göran Blokmalen's track record, set last year in a Dodge Viper GT3R. Lawson Ostenbach led the day, running 2 minutes, 1 second, 0.822 at 110.522 miles per hour in the number 9 Stevenson Motorsports Audi R8 LMS GT3. It was announced earlier this week that past guest on the program, Dion Van Moltke, will be joining Stevenson Motorsports for the remainder of the season, so we wish him good luck with that. Leading the four prototype challenge entries was the number 54 Core Autosport Oreca FLM 09 of John Bennett, Colin Braun, and Mark Wilkins, with an unofficial track record lap of 1 minute, which doesn't seem like it's quite fast enough, and it looks like they had a little bit of an error in there. In their release this afternoon, because I know they weren't going at 1 minute, and I know they weren't traveling at 11 miles per hour. That would be pretty impressive if that was a track record, but I don't think that's really how that goes. In other news, Ford Performance announced on Thursday the four-time Champ Car titleist Sebastian Bourdais will join Dirk Müller and Joey Hand in the number 66 Ford GT for Sebring, while Scott Dixon will join Ryan Briscoe and Richard Westbrook in driving the number 67 Ford GT for Chip Ganassi Racing. Both Bourdais and Dixon participated in the team's testing today. The test marked the debut of the Ferrari 488 GT3 in IMSA, as Christina Nielsen, Alexandro Balzan, and Jeff Siegel co-drove the number 63 Scuderia Corsa entry. It was the car's first time out in the U.S. after an initial shakedown in Italy. We are hoping to have Christina Nielsen on sometime during the season. We've reached out to her people, and we're awaiting a response. We have had good dealings in the past with the Scuderia Corsa team, and you can read a full interview with the owner of Scuderia Corsa on SpeedwayDigest.com. Just look for Scuderia Corsa, and you'll find it. His name is Giacomo Mattioli. He was a really cool guy to talk to. He's related by marriage to the Ferrari family. His son's name is Enzo. So, it's kind of cool. In its competition debut, Dream Racing tested in the WeatherTech Championship for the first time with the number 27 Lamborghini Huracan GT3 for regular drivers Larry DeGeorge and Cedric Spirazzoli. Joined at the test by Paolo Roberti and Fabio Babbini. The team unfortunately had an off-course excursion late in the morning that resulted in left front damage. Testing will continue tomorrow for all the WeatherTech Champion competitors, running from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. with a one-hour lunch break. There is no television coverage of the test, but I believe timing and scoring is being posted to IMSA.com, so be sure to check that out. It's always an amazing thing to see how fast some of these cars go around the road courses, and Sebring is an amazing track. Personally, I wish that the sanctioning bodies would schedule two amazing races on the same weekend, but that is generally how it goes, and there's nothing that we as fans can do about that. The more we try, the more it feels like they're working against us at times, but that is how it goes. Now, well, we've got a couple of minutes until our first guest comes on the air tonight, so we're going to welcome Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew to the program again with their song, Victory Lane. Once again, that was Ron Pastana and the Pit Crew, and we'd like to thank them for offering their musical selection to our program. You're listening to Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder on the Speedway Digest Radio Network. Our first guest this evening is Jim Campbell. Jim Campbell was born and raised in Arizona, but has been residing in Huntington Beach, California for over 20 years. He owns California Safety and Fire Specialists, which is a consulting firm based out of Orange County, California. He is the former commander of Red Alert Global, a nonprofit search and rescue team based out of Redding, California. He continues to train in technical rescue and is a top-notch advisor for this field. Jim has dreamed of driving a nitro fuel injected car ever since he was 8 years old. His father used to take him to the drag races all the time, and Jim got hooked. He is a 53-year-old rookie. Once Jim puts his mind to doing something, he doesn't just say he's going to do it, he does it. Jack Beckman was an instructor when he wanted to get his license as a super comp dragster. They became great friends, and Jack stands by him today as he has become a pro nitro funny car driver. Jim went to Frank Holly's drag racing school last April. He was in an alcohol funny car, and in May he wanted to try the nitro, so we went back to Frank Holly for more direction and more seat time. By June of last year, he went to Brakesfield to see if he could get his license in the funny car, and he did. He's had a tremendous amount of support from the industry's greatest of drivers, starting with Jack Beckman, schooling with Frank Holly, and his mentors include Del Worsham, Jeff Arend, Corey Lee, and Chuck Worsham. He also has had an awesome crew so far. His first national event was his debut in Pomona at the Winter Nationals. He qualified for his first event and ran against Alexis DeZoria in the finals on Sunday. There, he ran a phenomenal 4.04, even though he lost. This is the beginning of a very exciting time in Jim's life. This is a man who actually fulfilled his childhood dream. We are now pleased to welcome Jim Campbell to the program. Hello, how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing good. How are you doing today, sir?
Pretty good.
Fantastic, fantastic. Well, it's an honor and a pleasure to be on your show.
And thank you very much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Know you've had a great start to the 2016 season. Can you tell us how the team did in Pomona?
Well, we actually did very well. We had some pretty good runs early on. We had an issue in Q3 where we banged the blower and had a pretty good explosion. The team did a phenomenal job of putting another engine in, and we qualified with a 4:15 on Q4 on Saturday in Pomona. And like you said earlier, we wound up running Alexis DeJoria in round one and ran a 4:04. So we were very excited about that, considering, you know, there's usually 12 full-time professional cars, and then you get the independent guys like ourselves that come out just because we like to go fast.
Can you describe a little what it's like to zoom down the track at more than 280 miles an hour strapped in front of a nitromethane-powered engine?
It's a description that is, let's put it this way, it's the best amusement park ride times 10. It's an extremely wonderful experience to get strapped in and know that, you know, these cars are capable of doing 330 miles an hour in 1,000 feet. So it definitely sets you back in the seat and glues you all the way until you hit the parachutes. And so you go from positive G's to negative G's, and, you know, you have the ride of a lifetime. Unfortunately, when we were qualifying and I blew the engine in Pomona, Gary Denchin was in the other lane and wound up going into the sand trap. He went into catching us. And we were very happy that he was okay. But it just goes to show you that the power of these cars and the parachutes don't open sometimes, things can go wrong.
Which track are you most looking forward to on the schedule this year?
Well, to be honest with you, it was Pomona. Pomona has it's the most notorious track. It's the first and last race of the year. And it's the right lane from Pomona, which has very good traction, is notoriously hard to get down. And getting down that and running that 4:04 in Pomona, which also has an extremely short shutoff period, was the track that I was really looking forward to. Plus, it was my home track, being in Huntington Beach.
What's your favorite thing about being a racer?
I just think it's very exciting. I'm a licensed private pilot, so I fly small airplanes. I've had a pretty interesting job as far as doing rescue. So I think it's the adrenaline and being able to wheel a 300-mile-an-hour car down the track. There's just really, I don't think there's anything like it on the planet.
In addition to the National Hot Rod Association, what other forms of racing do you follow?
I love all kinds of racing. NASCAR, Formula One, IndyCar. You could race go-karts. I just love anything that goes fast and is competitive, and it's fun to watch all forms of racing. And you have to respect each form of racing because it's a little bit different, but I think all the drivers have the same passion, and that's the need for speed, and they like to win.
I know you're heading to Phoenix this week. Did you get a chance to participate in the preseason testing there? Do you think that'll help you out with the race this weekend?
It did. We did some testing in Phoenix, and I was trying a new fuel system and just doing little things in the car before Pomona. But it does help to have experience running both sides of the track that you've never run. Being the new guy and the rookie on the block, each track that I go down, I get a little bit of experience running those. Because each track has its own little, you know, quirks. Some may pull you towards the center. Some may pull you towards the wall. It just depends. You just got to make sure you get straight.
I don't know if you heard the news or not, but I know that that Mike Dunn, who used to do the coverage for the NHRA on ESPN, was recently named the president of the IHRA. What do you think that'll mean for that organization, and have you ever seen any IHRA events?
I have seen some IHRA events. I used to follow them a long time ago because, like I said, I love nitromethane. Mike Dunn is an extremely knowledgeable man, not only being a crew chief and working on the car, but as well as a driver. So I think he will be a huge asset to IHRA, and I think they're lucky to have him.
What are you most looking forward to about this weekend's race?
This weekend our goal is to put this car in the threes. So we'd like to drop a 397, 398, something like that, and just progressively, get down to where the 12 cars that have major sponsors and lots of money are running. So it would be phenomenal to run in the threes. And anybody out there that wants to sponsor a funny car, we're open for business.
I mentioned a little bit in the run-up to your interview that I'm going to be attending the race at Gainesville this year. Have you ever been to any races at Gainesville, and are you looking forward to that event as well?
Yeah, we're not sure yet if we're going to run Gainesville. That's probably the track I ran down the most when I was going through alcohol school with mm-hmm. Frank Hawley. He's out of Gainesville, and it's a fun track, and I do know that track pretty well on both sides. So I like Gainesville a lot. Not sure we're going to make it there as an independent team. We may. We're going to be trying to see if we can get the money for it, and we have Vegas after that. So it's the one thing about this sport, and I think any type of racing, is all about getting sponsors. And the more sponsors you have, the more events you're going to be able to run, especially in the nitro classes, because they're so expensive to run per round.
I know in the all the events. What do you think about that? Do you think that that's necessarily a good thing for the sport? Do you think that the championship should be written in such a way that they have to attend all the events in order to be eligible for it?
Well, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. You know, there's been some guys that have been very, very dominant, and then once they get to the countdown and stuff, it basically resets the points and everybody's got a shot at it. Do you think that mm-hmm. makes it more exciting? Again, to run all 24 events, you're looking at a major sponsor to back you up. So Generally, at least in this sport, and I would probably say in NASCAR and in some of the other major motorsports, if you don't have a full-time sponsor, you're always trying to play catch-up to the guys that can pour the money at it. And, when you have a $5 million a year team, you can throw the money and the parts at it. And if you blow up an engine, it's not a big deal. If we blow up an engine, it's obviously cuts into our budget.
I know that I watched a little bit of the Pomona race, and it didn't really look like it was the best attended race in the NHRA history. What would you do to increase the amount of spectators in the grandstands?
Well, I try to bring as many friends of mine and try to explain to people that TV really does no justification. Until you've been there and felt 10,000 horsepower cars take off at the starting line at the same time, and it literally goes through your body when the cars take off. I think most people, once they get out there, really see how fast and how incredibly powerful these cars are. I always compare certain things to power. Obviously, the space shuttle when it takes off, or an F-18 when it flies over your head. but a fuel funny car when it takes off, or a top fuel dragster, just shakes the ground and usually catches everybody's attention, and they're like, wow, that was really cool.
You mentioned that you had you'd worked with Jack Beckman and other drivers as well. Who was your favorite NHRA driver of all time?
My favorite NHRA driver of all time, it's really a toss-up. Don Prudhomme has been a hero of mine since I was a young child. And you got to give kudos to John Force. John Force has just left his mark in the sport and is the reigning all-time champ. So both of those are two guys that I've looked up to. Del Worsham and Chuck Worsham, my car owners, have been doing this for 35 years. They're extremely knowledgeable. Jack Beckman's an extremely good guy. Jeff Wren. I'm just surrounded by a lot of talent. And being a new driver, my best thing that I could do is sit there, be a sponge, listen to the knowledge that they have, and then try to do it in the car. But like they said, they can teach you all day long. You're the one that's got to drive the car down the track.
You mentioned briefly about the TV doesn't really do justice to it. How do you like the new coverage they have on Fox Sports this year? Do you think that'll be a good thing for the sport?
I do. Fox usually does very well and takes things to the next level. ESPN, too, did a good job. I just think there was some scheduling issues. Mm-hmm. But I think Fox is going to take this very well. I haven't got a chance to see the coverage so much because I'm participating in the event.
Yeah.
I've heard, good and bad about it. But I think as it goes along, that was, their first event. So as each event goes along, I'm sure that they'll do an outstanding job.
Well, I'd like to wish you lots of luck at Phoenix and hope I do get to see you at Gainesville in a couple, it's next month now. So have the best of luck to you and hope you have a great rookie year.
I appreciate it, Adam, and thank you so much for having me on your show. And to all the race fans out there, if you get a chance to go to an NHRA event, enjoy yourself because there's nothing like it on the planet.
Thank you very much, and have a nice evening.
You too, sir. Thank you very much for having me. Bye-bye.
Once again, that was NHRA funny car driver Jim Campbell, who's looking for a sponsor. So if you're interested, please look up Jim Campbell online. He's got lots of information out there. He's got and he is really looking for a full-time sponsor, and he definitely deserves one. The NHRA is a little bit different sport than some of the other sports. Recently I've had a lot of young people on this show who are growing up in racing. It's always good to have somebody come up who's been relatively successful in business and turns to racing as sort of a second career. So we wish him all the luck in the world, and hopefully he has a great year and a great weekend at Phoenix. As I stated, this is going to be a little bit shorter program tonight because my co-host is unfortunately out with a flu. So our little back and forth discussion isn't going to happen again this week as well. But it has been an awesome time talking to Jim Campbell. And we hope that you enjoyed the interview as well. Be sure to check out past episodes of Thursday Night Thunder, as well as the other shows on the Speedway Digest Radio Network at SpeedwayDigestRadioNetwork.com. You can also check out the show on Facebook by searching for Speedway Digest Thursday Night Thunder in the search bar. I also invite you to read the articles covering all aspects of motorsports at SpeedwayDigest.com. This week, we've been covering a little bit of information about the NHRA, Supercross, and even some sports car news. So be sure to check it out. If you're a fan of South Florida, and who isn't, be sure to check out the latest news and information about our slice of paradise at Palm Beach Happening, which can be found by visiting palmbeach.happeningmag.com or following us on Twitter at PBHappening. Thank you for listening, and we look forward to seeing you again on March 3rd in the Thunderdome as we talk NASCAR and IMSA with driver Devin Jones. Thank you very much, and have a great evening.